Mark Stonehawker is spending some time with The Antidote. It's good to have you here, Mark.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I need to hear this. What was it that inspired you to jump into the music scene in the first place?
You know, I've always done music. When I was a little kid, I have three sisters, and my mom would play piano, and we'd be the special number at church, and we'd sing. So I guess I've been doing music a long time. When I finished high school, it was like I was going to go into computers, and I did go into computers. But I asked for a guitar for my grad gift, and I got it. And, you know, I don't know what my parents were expecting.
At least they didn't buy you a drum kit.
That's right. Yeah, drums. That's one thing I play a lot of instruments, but never really got going on the drums.
Because if they bought you the drums, they would have just tossed you out of the house a year later.
That's right. When I went to college, I moved out. So that was like, got a guitar and I moved out and went to college and promptly started a band, you know.
Now, you've already brought up how long you've been making music, but I need details.
Oh, 20-some years, like officially, since I brought my first tape cassette out, back when I did my first album in handmade 100 cassettes.
Good for you. But you got to realize that cassettes are back again.
They are. It's funny to me.
Yeah, if you want to be a really indie, trendy artist now, you've got to put it out on cassette.
That's right. I'll go the vinyl route, but I'm not sure about the cassette.
I was being mean there, and I was putting you on the spot, asking about how long you've been doing this. Because I went on a hunt, and the earliest Stonehawker recording I came across released in 99, and that was your Star Flake album. So here you are, 25 years later, and you're still making music. You got to realize something. That does make you a veteran.
Well, hopefully it comes out in the latest music. Hopefully it's improved to the point that's worth 25 years, I guess.
So how much do you remember from 25 years ago? What was it like putting that Starflake album together?
Oh, it was... I was in college, actually, because I went to college for computers, but I switched over to music production shortly. So I actually did Starflake as, you could almost call it a school project, but it was at the school. So they had a nice studio and Pro Tools set up and recording booth, and I had access to all these musicians through the college. Like, I think there was one or two tracks on that album. I actually got the drum professor to drum on it, and he'd finished a sabbatical in Africa recently. I had a trumpet player I brought in, again, from one of the ensembles. I had guest vocalists. You know, I had this huge pool of musicians to reach out to.
You really did luck out with that.
That's right. So Starflake was actually always kind of a favorite. In the musical journey, it was interesting. I felt my last album, Ups and Downs, was kind of a return to the Starflake process, just in the way I wrote and recorded it. It felt to me like more direct follow-up to Starflake.
You jumped ahead of me there, because that's exactly what I was going to ask about. Because here it was, like I say, 25 years later, well, almost 25 years, that you released that Ups and Downs album. Doing that one, was it a challenge?
It was, because I was, to summarize many years, I was kind of getting back into it. I'd been building the studio at home, so there was a lot of learning in there. Actually, it was also on the first album that I really went online with, because the previous album, Mail Me a Smile, before that one, we didn't put it on Spotify or anything. And all that stuff was out. We just didn't. We were just playing bars and traveling around Alberta and stuff, but we didn't put it up online. So it was my first foray. I hadn't been on social media either. So suddenly here I was trying to discover this whole world. How do you release music these days, you know, if you're not just doing shows and selling CDs? And COVID happened in the middle of that, because it came out 2022, and the You Matter to Me single online, which was 2019, was technically supposed to be the first single for the album. But then COVID happened and blah, blah, blah. A drummer I was trying to work with took 2 years. Well, 2019 to 2022, took that long to finish it. at which point I think I redid You Matter. That's why You Matter to Me on Ups and Downs says remix. Because by the time the album was done, I was like, well, that original version of You Matter to Me does not match at all. I had grown musically and even in that time, so I went and redid it.
I really can't imagine how you even existed as a musician with the earlier stuff not being available online and having no social media presence. You were invisible.
Is what it felt like. It did in 2019 when I dropped You Matter to Me, it felt like I was a new musician, which was weird because I was like, but I'm not. I've been doing this. I had another band in the middle too. So there's a big stint in between Starflake and then the Mail Me a Smile album. And there was actually another band in the middle there where I did a CD with them too.
Well, let's jump into that Ups and Downs album. Lost Art is one of the songs that stands out. And you do lay out your Christian faith on that one.
Yeah, Lost Art, that song's interesting because it's, as far as my whole talk about going different directions in the music and then being out of it, trying to get going again and redefine yourself in the new online world. That's what Lost Art was, because it felt like me coming back. Weird, because I hadn't really gone anywhere, but it felt like I was starting fresh. And so Lost Art was kind of that. It was ironic because the Ups and Downs actually has a lot of dual meaning throughout all the songs. Mm-hmm. And the song technically is written to my mom, but it definitely does have underlines of Christianity or that aspect to it.
Well, there's something else. Maybe this is a little bit abstract, but it does relate to the song title. The whole music scene continues to change, and I think sometimes in ways that really aren't very good. Do you think that artists may have lost the art of creating music?
That's a deep argument. I do see things nowadays, people like, oh, this is what people are doing these days. Like I've even noticed like 2-minute songs. They're in, they're out, they come, they go. I see it. And I guess, you know, I don't really care. I'm like, well, that's not how I write. I'm still going to write the songs the way I always have. And I just proceed. Sometimes I'll start with the hook or the chorus will start a song, but it's just the way it came out. And so, yeah, I suppose people can really overthink it. They can produce it too much, maybe, is where it's going.
You're making it sound as if you're selfish. You're creating the music for yourself, not for your listeners.
Well, ironically, you know what? I almost do. A big part of my music is for me. Like when I play my songs back, it is reminding me of things I went through or things I've learned, and they are for me. And it's interesting because on that note, I love when I do get to hear feedback on a song from people because it expands what it is about for me. It actually grows. So it's like it'll start and yeah, it is my song. I remember a Weezer song they wrote. They're in their garage and it's his songs. It's his music and he's playing these songs. And they're all his tunes, you know. That's kind of how I feel. But when I take them out and play, they develop and they morph into something else. Because people like this, I was listening to the song and I went through this. Or this is what it means to me. Or this is what I heard. And I remember those things. And then I'll remember them when I play them live. And it'll be like, oh. And there's a few songs that have, even on Ups and Downs, have turned into that. Where they mean more to me now because of what I've been told they meant to other people. Ironically.
That's cool. Hit the Sky is another song from Ups and Downs. It finishes by saying, blowing away from the earth, it hates so much because of the devil it is and the tricks it plays on a weak little mind that only wants to love you. But if you must, goodbye. That's serious. What was it that brought that out?
That song, whenever I play it, it says it the best. For depression. His Ups and Downs is an album about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he hit that pure bottom, Hit the Sky, actually, I remember I hadn't played it for a long time and I was in one of my lows and I remember just pulling it out and playing it. And I was like, man, I hit it on the head with that.
So you do cycle through bouts of depression?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty heavily. That song specifically, when it's talking about saying goodbye to someone, it's literally about my relationship. It's about me overthinking it. It's about pre-argument. It's like when you're going to you're going to go talk to somebody. They're like, we should talk. And you get all worried about the conversation before you get there. And you argue it out in your head. And you think about all these things you're going to say. And you can end up entering the conversation sometimes angrier than you should be because they haven't even had a chance to say anything. But you've thought it out. And that song specifically isn't about maybe anger, but it's about over-worrying. Or it's about, you know, I'm so horrible. I've done this. This is the low. This is the end. You know, if you got to go, go. But in reality, I haven't even talked to them yet. And I'm already giving up because of this head argument, you could say. So it is, it's a very deep song. It's interesting you brought that one up because that song is always, I never expect anyone to know what that song is about because it's so obscure the way I wrote it.
You don't mind having songs obscure.
No, you know, and it's because I'm an introvert probably, and sometimes I just can't say it. So I write it in a way that people are like, what's it about? I'm like, I don't even want to tell you what it's about.
How can you be an introvert and a musician performing on stage?
Oh, it's very hard.
And what's it like coming on for an interview with me? Is it brutal too?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes even this, I have to think about it. I'm like, don't overthink it. Don't overthink what he's going to ask and what you're going to say. Just try to be honest. But that's what it's about, though. When I really think about it, it's about overthinking, you know, and because the song, it's not written about a specific moment of somebody arguing. It's literally about me being in my head and overthinking things.
That's got to be tough. And you've done it as a full album. As you said, your ups and your downs. That's got to be difficult because you're bearing your soul to the whole world.
Yeah, it is. But we're supposed to be honest, you know. And I think I fall back on, well, I guess that's why I do this. You dump it out there. At the end of the day, I hate talking about it, but that's the point, is to go on something where you can ask me and I can say what it's about. And somebody can hear it and go, oh, well, I feel that way. Not about selling albums. It's about, at the end of the day, it's about getting to a show where I can play and connect with somebody. That's the end goal, is to play the song and have somebody come up and say, wow. And it's really interesting what songs people connect and what they say about them.
So you're making it sound as if popularity isn't important.
Well, it can't be, if you're going to be honest. I can't shape my image around what's popular or what I think might do well. To be true to myself, I have to just be honest and just put the music out. And it's like, it's as good as it's going to be and it'll do whatever it does, but I can't make it anymore because that's not necessarily honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you talked about being selfish earlier. Well, you are selfish when you're making the music. Stonehawker, everything comes from you. The words, the beats, the melody, the instrumentation. Does it ever become overwhelming doing everything by yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that might be why it takes so long to get it done. Like the last album, 2019 to 2022. The current album I'm working on has been astronomically better for just getting it done. I think I've gone into a groove or something. But then this current one is bigger. Ups and downs is a big learning experience on releasing and marketing also. Like, how do you put albums out and how do you do something with them? And so everything I learned on that, I've gone the step forward with the new album that's coming out and have subsequently made myself even busier with marketing and everything else, which at this point, no, I had to hire a team to actually help with PR because I'm like, this is beyond me. When I actually started to recognize where I needed to go, I was like, no, there's only so much you can do. And I did work with a drummer on the new one, actually. On the ups and downs, I did the beats, and it was mind-numbingly difficult. And so this latest one was like, no. And I went back and actually hired the drummer that I worked with on the Mail Me a Smile album. I was like, dude, do drums for me. Be my session drummer. And he was like, okay.
Perfect. Nice that you knew somebody to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And tell us then, how does the music begin?
They come out in many different ways. Sometimes it's just lyrics. Sometimes I've lyrics sitting there waiting for music, and then tunes will come to me. But they come out in weird times. I'll just be sitting there eating breakfast. I need peace and quiet. No TV's on, and I try to live my life like that. And it just literally all of a sudden, like, boom, there it is, and I'll go down. The song that just came out, "I Am Divided," was like literally after breakfast. I was sitting there eating breakfast, and it was like, oh, there it is. Walked down, wrote the lyrics, and then played the tune, put my phone down, recorded it, and that was it.
You just slurped up the last of those Frosted Flakes and said, we're good to go now.
Yeah, it just hits you. And I'll be hanging out in the bathroom, getting ready, showering or something. It's like, oh, there it is. There's a tune.
Well, back to the music. I find that many of the songs from Stonehawker have relatively obvious messages. But okay, here we go. On Flash Flood 2, it goes a bit deeper. The heat's bouncing off the sidewalk, bouncing around my walls, trying to burn me, trying to warn me, trying to save me from the flash flood. Here's another thing. Does having faith in Christ keep you invincible?
Well, a flash flood is actually a deceptive song. It's the thought that you are okay. It's okay. I'm safe from it all. The flash flood could be described like, to somebody else, might not be a flash flood, but it's the world coming at me, and it's somebody being myself who just can't sometimes handle it. Like I said, keep the news off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too much for me. And that would be the flash flood of the world. And when it comes and hits, it's like, I'm going to be okay. In a sense, to a Christian, you might be like, oh, I'll be okay because yeah, I got God on my side. But it's like, it's that thought that you have to get past where it's like, I will be okay because I can handle this. I can do this. But in reality is you can't. And so the song is at the beginning of the album, because that's the deception, is the flash flood's coming and you're not going to be okay. You're going down. But the song is saying that you are going to be okay. It's like, it's all right. I'm okay. I'm strong. I can handle this. Here it comes, but I'm okay. That's deep because it doesn't really say that. And you'd have to put all the songs on the album together to figure that one out. I guess that's why I'm telling you.
Okay, what about in a physical sense? Have you ever been through a flood?
No, I haven't actually.
You guys did have the big flood.
Where I live, it was above the flood, so I didn't flood. But I remember having to get out of work and drive home, and I was on like the freeways trying to avoid the flood. I remember it was like a long excursion I had to take around my normal route just to get out of downtown where it was flooding and avoid the flooded highways. But once I was home, it was okay. Couldn't go back to work for like a week or something because of the flood. Okay. I remember driving up and I could see in my mirror, I was like, oh, apparently I live on a hill because I can see behind me the city is sinking, you know?
When I was on your Facebook page, I noticed that you really do play quite a few dates, many of them bar dates. What about telling us about a live Stonehawker show? What's it like?
Well, it's gone through iterations, I guess you could say, over the years. When I first started, it was acoustic. I'd go to cafes, pull up my acoustic guitar and play. And then I got with the band, and it was during the Mainly a Smile album. It was full, loud rock shows, putting earplugs. It was craziness. And then with Ups and Downs, it was like, okay, I wanted to go solo and stay solo. So I wanted to do acoustic. But the neat thing, I guess, was I wanted it to sound alternative. I didn't want people to hear me live and go, oh, this is a great folk artist. And then buy my album and be like, oh, that's not what it is at all. So it's me with an acoustic guitar, and then I got the sample pedal. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it to be drum machine directly, because in the same breath, I wanted to bring on a drummer, possibly. I haven't been able to play over these samples. So it's just the kick beat, like a very minimal kind of drum beat to just kind of create some tempo to the whole show and mm-hmm. some beat. And then I pick out select little samples from the different music, different songs from my album, and I put it into the sample pedal.
But that's still stressful. I mean, you're still got to be right on top of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sample pedal helped because like way back 1997 or 1999, I did actually have a, this is going, I remember this. I had a CD with the backing tracks and I would play with it. And that was so unforgiving. It's like, you better play it perfect because the CD's not changing in any way. But with the sample pedal, I have it broken up to verse, chorus, whatever. And if you want to extend a verse or come in a few measures late to a chorus, it's like, it's okay. You just hit the pedal when you're ready to go in, you know?
Sure.
I find it way easier. I can just kind of do whatever I want.
Well, I know that a lot of those dates that you have played were at the Dirty Duck Pub. Now, I've got an idea here for you. You're going to go tour the Maritimes, and you can play the alternate. Instead of Dirty Duck, you can play at the whole chain of Rubber Duck car washes.
Oh, really?
Think of the great acoustics inside of a car wash bay.
Is that a thing out there, Rubber Duck car wash?
It is. It's a chain. It wasn't until I started to realize, it's like, oh, I've seen a couple of those before.
I think I've only played the Dirty Duck once or twice, haven't I? I can't remember. I think I was there twice.
That's just for your next nationwide tour.
Yes, I want to cross the country somehow. That's one thing you can't do on your own. I'm trying to find help with booking agents or whatever. I'm always like my Vancouver shows lately, I'm working with Live Acts Canada because like I can do a lot on my own, but oh my goodness, booking shows.
It's so much work.
That's another world.
Back to the business about your faith coming in. Your songs aren't always Christ-focused. Coronation Revisited is a song that reminisces about a mother's love. Do you want to tell us about that?
That song, as much as all the songs we've talked about, there's all these hidden deep messages. That song is not hidden and deep. When I grew up, my mom would always play the piano. I think it was her way of calming down from four kids. But I lay in bed
and is that possible to calm down with four kids?
Oh yeah. And so I remember just listening to her play piano, and I'd go to sleep with that. I love piano music. Probably because of that, because she would just play classical music. And so that's what that's based on. And then that song I wrote on the first album that I made on cassette, that song was on it. And that's why I called it Revisited, because it was like a remix. Yeah. So that's an old, old song.
But another tribute for mom.
There's a lot on that album. Ups and downs. My mom got cancer during that album, or during the middle of it. And so there's a lot of references to that. My mom was, it's funny, she raised us like, follow your dreams, do what you want to do. And then we're all artists. She's like, oh no, go get real jobs. This is my one sister's a painter and my other sister's an artist also. And I'm the musician. It's like, oh my goodness. But she was a big inspiration and all that. So Coronation is literally, it's a song to my mom. And it wasn't written about the cancer. It was written long before that. It's my mom's song.
I'm just really glad that all of you have equally disappointed your mom.
That's right.
So we've talked about songs from your past. 2 years since that last album. And now you're back with a new single, I Am Divided. So you got to tell me, you're actually comfortable relating about your split personality?
Yeah, if you thought ups and downs was hard to talk about, the new one is probably going to be harder to talk about. In a good sense, in a good note, ups and downs was about dealing with depression, you know, and recognizing as it's always there. I Am Divided is going to be from the beginning of the new album. And the new album is more of understanding of why I'm depressed. And it actually starts to break into that. It's going to be a way better album in the sense of the message or where it's going. There's a lot of songs on it that are coming out that I feel a lot better about. Like when I sing them, it's like, oh, here we go. This is nice. There's actually some answers in this. But I'm Divided is not from the end of the album. It's from the beginning. So the basic concept is that my argument would be that everyone in society struggles with something. We all have our two sides. And in some of the PR I actually pulled out, it was like, it goes straight back to the verse in Romans of, I do what I hate to do, and what I want to do, I do not do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole concept of I Am Divided. But most importantly, it's the recognition that I am divided. It's the acknowledgement. It's like, yep, this is what it is. This one's quite straight up. One of us is looking for you, and it is looking for God. And the other side of you is not. And it's that conflicted self. Even when you look back, you're like, why did I say that to that person? Why did I act like that? Why did I do that to my girlfriend, my wife? Why did I act like that, you know? And you're unsure, why did I change so much when I got angry? You can feel ashamed of it. That's the concept. I am divided.
But as you say at the close of the song, you bring in the line, I am broken, but am I lost? Broken in two, one of us is looking, looking for you. Meaning that you do have the answer.
Yes. Yeah. And that's probably the biggest difference from the last album to this one is just literally. And again, I'm writing about stuff I'm going through. The songs are literally me. It's like a journal. And so, yeah, it's a progression from the last one. And it is supposed to be a direct carry on. At the end of the day, when I looked, I was like, well, this will work out. The last one was about depression. This one is about the answer. Why am I depressed? What am I going through? How am I dealing with it?
It is. We go from the ups and downs to just the ups.
Yes, pretty much, actually. So I'm very excited about this one. In the same breath, there's recognition of what it is. And it's like, well, let's not get too into that. But again, bearing your soul without question of what it's going to do to you.
Well, there's been a couple points here where you've mentioned about the new Stonehawker album. So any more details, release dates, how many songs, are you releasing singles? What's the story?
Yeah, there's going to be 12 songs and there's going to be 3 singles in preparation for it. The 3 singles idea is actually me and my discovery of this modern world and how you release music and how long music lasts and is good for. And when I was doing ups and downs, I discovered, man, 3 months and people are done with the album. It's not new anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, okay, I guess 3 singles it is. So I can like take some time to lay this music out to the world. They're like, no, you need to, it's not 3. I can't push the whole album in 3 months. So therefore 3 singles. Next one's coming out in November, actually start in November.
So next year we do see the full album.
Yeah. It's in production still. So we have tentative dates that I imagine we're going to hit.
Well, you've given us something to look forward to. I want to thank you, Mark, for sharing about the music of Stonehawker. Appreciate you taking time for the antidote.
Oh, perfect. It was good to talk to you about it. It's definitely memories for ups and downs.